5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hey, everybody. It's Tim, your co-host and producer from Beyond the Darkness, welcoming you into today's Sunday's episode. Now, you may think it's kind of weird that we're doing a little disclaimer before the show, but there's a very special reason why. You know, I'm here in Florida. Dave's back in Minnesota. I'm here visiting family, and I'm here with my nephew, Charlie. And the reason why we're doing a disclaimer for today's show is, I have to explain to Charlie why he can't listen to today's show. Charlie, you're a huge fan of pro wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You love pro wrestling. And you really like Jon Moxley, right? Dean Ambrose?
Yeah.
Used to be Dean Ambrose in WWE. Well, Charlie, I'm trying to think of a nice way to put this. If today's show were an episode of Sesame Street, now I know you're a little too old for Sesame Street, but if today's show were an episode of Sesame Street, it'd be sponsored by the letter F.
You mean like Fortnite?
Yeah, like Fortnite, Charlie. Exactly. Let's just say, folks, if you're sitting at home, you probably don't want to play this around guys like Charlie. Because although you probably heard these words, not at home, certainly, you have great parents. But, you know, out in the street, you might have heard it once or twice from your uncle. I'm just saying. But there are a lot of these words, Charlie. In fact, Jon Moxley says Fortnite about 472 times.
Really?
He really likes Fortnite. I know, right? Yeah. So, you don't want to play this at home in front of the kids. And if you're at work, you definitely don't want to play this episode at work. Because you shouldn't, what, Charlie? You shouldn't play Fortnite at work, right?
No.
No, you really shouldn't play Fortnite at work. Charlie and I would sit back normally and listen to the episode together. But I'm just going to excuse Charlie to go play Fortnite.
Okay,
we'll do that. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here is today's episode of Beyond the Darkness.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Jericho Cruise Part 2. We are Beyond the Darkness, the best in paranormal talk radio. Thank you all for joining us here this evening. I'm Dave Schrader, your host. Across the board from me, the lovely and talented Tim Dennis. Let's hear it for Tim.
Hi.
And joining us on stage, the ghost of Jon Moxley.
There he is.
Very busy man. I'm sure we'll get him in here at some point during the show. I'm going to take off my glasses so I can actually see you because I'm blinded by the light right now. Thank you guys for coming out and spending some time with us this evening as we're going to discuss the paranormal. How many people here, by applause, have had a paranormal experience? Really? That many people? Were you afraid when you had that experience, or was it just awesome? Awesome? What was that? A couple scareds? Yeah, what scared you?
I heard a child's laugh.
Yeah, children laughing scare the shit out of me, too. Because at my house, it usually means they've broken something and are trying to hide it. Do we have our audience mic around to run around so we can hear some of these lovely voices as we do this? Yeah, we all want to hear it. All right. We've got one here. I don't know. Can we get it down there?
We haven't stayed a full night here yet, but has anybody had anything weird happen yet today since they've checked into the room? No?
No? The boat does keep moving, doesn't it? We're rocking and rolling on this rager.
We've got some bad chop as we head towards the Bahamas. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so who was it that had experiences down here? All right, we'll run the microphones out to you. Hand it right over here, this young gentleman in the third row. What's your name and where are you from?
My name's Tony, and I'm from Austin, Texas.
Welcome, Tony, from Austin, Texas. All right, Tony, what paranormal experience did you have?
Well, my friend had told me about this hotel down 6th Street called the Driscoll. It's pretty famous for being haunted. I didn't believe him, and I was like, sure, why the hell not? I wasn't legal enough to drink, so going to a haunted hotel was the next best thing.
Sure.
And he was telling me all these stories about all these different people. We went to the very top floor. There was a portrait of this girl with a red ball. And he was like, dude, you know that she had died at this hotel. And I was like, okay. And then while I was staring at that picture, I started to hear giggles. All I heard was children, like a little girl laughing, like, and I was like, who in the hell? And then he was like, let's go investigate. And I was like, I've seen enough horror movies to know that the minority in these movies die first.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm running the hell out of here. And I didn't come back to the hotel since.
That's why Tim and I are nervous. The fat, funny guys are always the first to get killed. Then the minorities. So you're not even as bad off as we are in those movies. So you heard the giggles, right?
Yes.
It's unnerving as hell, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
When you start hearing this, how many people are here familiar with the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado? The Shining Hotel, right? Stephen King stayed at this hotel. Went in, and it was one of the last days they were open for the season. He checked into the hotel. They said, we're down to very few staff. He's like, that's fine. They put their stuff in their bags. They went down for drinks. They came back up. All their clothes had been put away. Their bed had been turned down. And he went down later to thank them for the extra effort. And they're like, we don't have anybody doing that here, Mr. King. And he's like, no, I heard it. And then he started talking about the children that they could hear in the halls. We've done, I think, close to about 8 or 9 investigations with large groups at the Stanley. And we would be there with all adults. And you would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to hear children giggling in the hall or running down the hall all the time. So the two little girls from The Shining, right? Very creepy. It's a real thing. Go to the Stanley Hotel. They'll tell you these great stories. It was fun. When we did our first event there, the guy, the night auditor, he does the overnights. He goes, I got to tell you something. I think this is full of shit. I've been working here a long time. Never had a ghost encounter. But whatever. If you're people like this, that's cool. So he goes to bed, or we go to bed. I get up in the morning. I come down to do breakfast, and he goes, come here. And I go, what? And he goes, I got to tell you 2 things. And I go, what's that? And he goes, paranormal people are horny. And I go, what do you mean they're horny? He goes, all night long, I had to keep chasing you dirty little perverts out of corners, making out and doing dirty things. He goes, so then I'm sitting down. I think I've cleared everybody away, and I start hearing somebody hammering away at the piano over in the concert room. So I get up and I go in one more time. He goes, I get to the door, I flip on the lights, and the piano's playing and nobody's sitting there. And he goes, what have you brought to the hotel? I'm like, dude, they're yours to begin with, right? So it was awesome to see the way he reacted and was totally unexpected for him. He's been working there all his years, never had an experience. But we had 200 people there amping the place up. A lot of weird stuff was going on. We actually have a photograph in the concert hall. There's stacks of chairs, and during one of our investigations, we're talking, Grant Wilson from the Ghost Hunters was standing there, and he's kind of telling everybody what we're going to do for tonight, and all of a sudden, a chair, wham, hits the ground. So happens, somebody was taking pictures while he was talking, and in the row of pictures, they found this a week after we got back, they sent me these pictures. You see all the stacks of chairs, and you see the top chair slowly coming up off the top and hitting, and these are like 7-8 feet tall. This chair comes up off the top and lands in the middle of the room while we're doing the talk. So the Stanley's no joke. If you have not had a chance to go there and you love ghosts, you love the paranormal, get out there, check it out for yourself. Do we have them here? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to need a little bit of noise for our next guest coming up on stage. He's here. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the one, the only,
John Moxley.
This is one of the most poorly constructed rings I've ever been in. And I already am like feeling a little seasick, and then this on top of it, like, jeez.
John, welcome up. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Oh, no, okay. Cool. Yeah. I just got off the karaoke stage like 2 minutes ago, so.
What were you singing?
Well, they didn't have any Billy Idol.
What?
Which is like my go-to. Yeah, so I did a little Sweet Caroline, because it's like a...
Oh, well, all right. That's
an easy go-to, you know.
Very cool. Now, John.
So I was on a wrestling ring stage show, and then was on that, and then this. So, like, I'm just all over the place. I'm just performing like a motherfucker. I've never been on a boat before, so cool.
You've never been on a ship before like this?
No.
Well, welcome.
I'm a land mammal, babe.
So, we've been told you have an interest in the paranormal as well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I really didn't really know what to expect with this tonight, but back, friend of mine, Chris Jericho, was like, hey, you want to go on the paranormal podcast?
Friend of yours, what's his name?
Chris Jericho.
Not familiar.
Yeah. Never heard of him. Nope. No.
Yeah, and I was like, 100%. This was before he stabbed me in the eye with a spike and everything.
That son of a bitch.
No.
I was like, look, motherfucker, I'm still going to get that free buffet. And
yes.
Oh, yeah.
I still stick to my commitment, so I'll still do the paranormal podcast.
Thank
so
you. We appreciate it. This is a trooper. They're easy to get going on this, huh? So have you, how old were you when you got interested in the paranormal? Did you have an experience yourself?
I had one ghost experience. It wasn't until I was an adult.
Okay.
I don't know if ghosts is like your specialty.
We talk about it all.
I got in a Bigfoot when I was a little kid.
Really?
Yeah.
It's today!
Yeah, fuck yeah. We're trying to go there 2020. I'm trying to facilitate. We're going to get it. But you know, you do like, we had to do like a book report. I don't know, I remember maybe like 5th or 6th grade, maybe like 10, 11, something years old. You have to do a book report on a subject. So you're in like the school library. It's like, it could be any subject. And I'm just looking through random books or whatever. And it's just like a little, not a big book, just like a little picture. It's kind of educational book, Bigfoot. And take it out. And the picture on the front was the Patterson film picture.
Right.
Fuck this shit. And I was like, what the fuck? Is that a real animal? I was instantly like, what the hell? So then I was like, Bigfoot's my subject. So I did a book report on Bigfoot when I was like a kid. So because of that, I read all the, I checked out every book I could and did all the research I could on it. And by the time I presented the report as like 10 or 11, I think I'm an expert. And I'm like, I'm telling you, motherfuckers, Bigfoot exists. And as you get older, you start to kind of be a little more realistic about it, but still hopeful, because you never know, man, you know?
You know what's interesting about the Patterson-Gimlin film? Have you guys all seen the Bigfoot footage?
Yeah!
So it was filmed in 1967, all right? The height of science fiction costuming was Planet of the Apes, which was phenomenal, but didn't look real, right? You had the monkey at the beginning of 2001, A Space Odyssey, which looked horrible. The only other monkeys that were believable were Davy, Mickey, Peter, and Mike, right? And 1967, they filmed this footage. Now, it's blurry, it's grainy, and it's shaky. So it leaves a question. But what's interesting is now we're in 2020, and they have used every stabilizing condition under the sun, and this image just keeps getting better. Because you don't see any flaws. I can't figure out, if this thing is fake, I can't see how this thing is fake and continue to look better the more science stabilizes the image.
Every time you watch one of those new shows or whatever, like Truth About Bigfoot or National Geographic or whatever, it seems like they start to disprove it a little more. People start coming out of the woodwork and say they knew and it was fake, and they start reenacting it and be like, this is how it could be faked or whatever, but they really still can't disprove it. So until you do, fuck you, Bigfoot could exist.
Well, two of the biggest detractors are Bob Hieronymus, who claims to be the guy that was inside the costume.
Yeah, because he was doing all this shit.
Right.
With the
he's huge.
Like a car was pulled. This big motherfucking dude who claimed, I don't know if you know or not, big tall dude who knew these people or was running the same circles, and he claimed that he was the guy who was in the suit, and he said he produced like wooden feet that he said is what he used, and he said he would hook up with a rope and get pulled by a car to take like big ass steps, which is like, damn, that's pretty believable. That could have been. But I want to be like, fuck you, man, you're making that up.
Well, Philip Morris, the costumer, is the guy that supposedly gave him the costume. And they redid the costume. Now, mind you, that was 1967, and he said what he did was he retrofitted a gorilla costume from 1967 to look that good. Thank you. In, I think it was 2000 or 2002, Bob Hieronymus and Philip Morris get together. They recreate the costume, and it looks like something an eighth grader put together in their garage, cutting their grandmother's favorite carpet off.
Yeah, like, where's the costume?
Yeah, it's nowhere near.
Where is
and
it? You wouldn't have kept that.
That's in there, exactly.
Somebody wouldn't have kept that.
It's totally
maybe
bonkers.
You would have, like, set it on fire to, like, destroy the evidence, I guess, could be an argument, but, you know. And the tits. Think, you know, who would.
God, it had great tits, huh?
Who would think, you know what I mean? Who would have thought to make it a female? Because just in your mind, generally, when you think of big hulking monsters, they would have a more, like, menacing male, like, you'd give them, like, Lex Luger tits.
I can see that.
Stroke, like, if it was a fake, stroke of genius to give them, give it, like, because it's like, oh, that could be more, you know? And you get the dude, like, Jeff Meldrum.
Right.
Who's still, is not an idiot, I don't think.
No, not
he's
at all.
He's got, you know, a bunch of degrees and shit, so. I mean, he might have gone nuts later in life and become obsessed with Bigfoot, but he still is like the thing. He's like, nothing could have moved like that. Like the way this shit, the all this, the head and the neck and all that, you know?
He has watched a lot. It's like this Zapruder film.
I want to believe, you know?
Yeah.
It gets harder every year.
See, I thought it's gotten easier with the way that it looks now.
That Animal Planet show, the Finding Bigfoot, like the reality show.
Yeah.
I'll tell you from experience. Everything that happens on reality TV shows is 100% horseshit.
So except like, for mine, so like, the Holzer Files on Travel Channel.
Oh, I wasn't counting you.
You were obviously.
Yeah, but I'm watching these motherfuckers. So I'm like, you're ruining it for everybody. You're like, dude, you're like cooking bacon in the woods. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you know.
You don't believe Bobo's theory that Bigfoot likes raves, Bigfoot likes bacon, Bigfoot... What are some of the other insane things?
Bigfoot likes ribs nailed to a tree.
Who doesn't?
In a slab.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we all do, right?
Yeah.
So do you think out of, you know, if you had to look at like Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, do you believe that there's a good chance something like Bigfoot could exist?
Well, stuff does. There's still, they find stuff. It's the world's getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Right.
But there's still, like, parts of the world where they find, like, because there's just some parts of the world that are just in big land masses that are in poorer countries that are just, like, kind of uninhabitable fucking jungle. A lot of it's, like, jungle. But the Pacific Northwest... Where, like, if I were to think, I like to believe in my justification is that he exists in the Pacific Northwest, if he does. Like, Northern California to British Columbia. When people from, like, Alabama start going, I've seen Bigfoot, I'm like, fuck you, dude, you're ruining it for everybody. Because nobody believes, like, no, he wasn't in Huntsville, Alabama. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But there's so much uncharted wilderness. There are planes that have disappeared and never been recovered over that part of the, because it's like such dense forest that it's feasible. Exactly, D.B. Cooper.
So when I was 10 years old, I'm in Foley, Alabama, fishing with my cousin. My grandparents owned 40 acres of land. And you'd always hear things crunching around in the woods, and it's animals. You never think twice about it. We're fishing, we could hear, and it's getting closer and closer to the back of the pond. And my cousin and I look at each other, and we turn around and look back at the end of the pond. There's these huge bushes, these overgrown bushes, and this furry hand, looks like Chewbacca's hand, hits the top of the bush and pushes it down. So we can see her from here up, and it's this dark set face with this huge mane of hair.
Oh, fuck.
And the two of us looked at each other and then looked back at this thing, and it just stood there staring at us. We Scooby-Dooed it up the hill, right? We're half thinking it's one of our dads being a dick, just joking around with us, trying to scare us, right? We get up there. Everybody's up there. My dad and uncle and grandfather ended up grabbing their shotguns and going out in the woods. Now, I can't say with 100% certainty it was a Bigfoot, but this thing was huge. And it had this kind of black-gray mane with a dark inset face, and it pushed down the top of probably had to be a good 8.5-foot-tall bush and overgrowth. So your Alabama 30 might not hold as much water as you think. There's a lot of those areas that are still dense, and creatures are living around back in that area. But it's yeah, I don't know. The Pacific Northwest, like you
should
said,
have used
really
Alabama.
Impressive. Yeah, that's all right. Shit on my TV show. Shit on my Bigfoot story. I got it. It's all good. No, but that's crazy because you think, like you're saying, places like Pacific Northwest, yeah, that makes sense because it's so dense. But there's so much of the United States that is still heavily wooded areas.
Yeah, I was listening to a thing the other day. It's a podcast somebody with a researcher guy, but he was like animals and nature and shit like that or whatever. Not necessarily like a guy trying to tell you Bigfoot exists or anything, but he's like a scientist. And he's talking about guys, a specific guy who was like a really well-respected nature researcher who swears to fucking God he saw what's called a thylacine, which is a Tasmanian tiger, I believe. It looks like a coyote with stripes, like a tiger. It's orange. Sorry, I didn't hear you. Then I got confused. But it's like a dog that's orange with like tiger stripes. But it's a documented animal that existed that's believed to be extinct. But people still swear they see it. The natives swear they see it. But it's in just such an uninhabited kind of area where only kind of like rural, super native, non-technology people live. But there are people who go out there and see it. And this dude, like, he's like, I hate to say it because everybody's going to make fun of me, but I swear to fucking God I saw one. And stuff like that can still exist, you know. So the fucking fish they found, you know, coelacanth,
yeah.
You know, can happen, you know.
John, I got to ask you, too. You live in the southwest region of the U.S. Other than what you said you've seen, have you seen anything like a chupacabra or anything cryptid-wise that could look like anything of that sort, dog man or anything like that?
I haven't seen an animal. After Christmas dinner, we had like the turkey carcass left over, mm-hmm. and we got coyotes. So I was like, I wonder what happened if I just throw this thing outside my fence at the end of the night. So at the end of the night, I put the turkey carcass outside the fence.
Right.
Within like hours, the motherfucker vanished.
Ooh,
I mean, it was totally the coyotes,
right.
But I was like,
yeah.
Watch, the coyotes will get it. But like, I thought it was very cool.
It's cool. It's creepy, though.
But they were just like, they fucking ate that shit and were gone. Like, it vanished.
That's creepy.
Are you familiar with the story out of Wisconsin? They had one of the road workers gets called out to pick up a deer carcass. And this is on their official record. It was in their newspapers, everything. The guy goes, he picks up the deer carcass. He's got it in the back of the open flatbed truck, right? And he's in the front doing notes. He hears a growl, looks up, and something bounds into the back of the truck, grabs the carcass, and jumps back out and runs into the woods with it. So now they've referred to this as the Beast of Bray Road. It's supposedly this like 7 or 8 foot tall werewolf-like creature. Are you familiar with this?
No.
The Dogman?
No, never heard of it.
It's crazy. How many people are familiar with the Dogman stories? Yeah? Show of applause. Just saying, curious. What do you believe more in? Bigfoot? Dogman. Yeah? All right, John's got a story. What do we... Uh-oh.
I'll talk while I'm doing this. Just made me think, because you were thinking of shit I seen in Vegas. So, like, I live by Area 51, which is, like, I don't know, what is it, 100 miles or something from Vegas?
Right.
I never actually drove up there. My wife drove up there with a friend, and, like, they went to, like, the UFO cafes and shit and saw
right.
stuff.
Little alien?
Yeah, exactly. There's, like, a mailbox where people put letters in, you know, it's like a whole, it's a touristy thing.
Right.
But even if there's not UFOs there, it's for sure a top secret military facility. So it stands to reason that you would see like top secret technology plane,
right?
And
of course,
hovercrafts and shit, you know.
Right.
So I got. I actually have a UFO video. I'll show you. It's gonna take me a while to find it. I'll do it while you're talking.
All right.
But I seen it twice. I seen it one time in the daytime. It could have just been like a weather balloon, but I don't really know what a fucking weather balloon looks like.
A UFO.
Yeah. So I seen it in the daytime at the dog park where I was like fucking around with the dog and shit. And then I'm like, the fuck is that? The fuck is that? And it was like fairly low, and I'm close to the airport, so there's always planes going by, so I kind of have a gauge. And this is kind of like, it's like a circle. It's like a black circle, and it was just moving like this. Like a super steady pace. Like not moving around or anything, just sure. Going like, almost like a screensaver, just like. And I watched it for like 40 seconds, enough to where I got a little bit of video, actually. The only other guy who I've ever shown it to is Jericho. He's not my friend anymore, though, but I'll show you. And I was just like, what the fuck? And I was like, is anybody else? And then it just got smaller and smaller and disappeared. And I was like, what the fuck was that?
Any noise at all with it?
No, like silence. And just like so steady and deliberate and just like went across the sky and was gone. Like, no noise, no nothing. And I was on my back another time, like a few months apart. I was in my backyard with my wife and two of her family members who were visiting, who I like didn't even know. They're like her aunts or uncles or something. I've never seen them since. So I don't like really know them. And it was like her and like one of her uncles, and it's like me and her or aunt or something. And we're facing out toward like the sky. We're all on the porch and it's nighttime. And I'm like, same kind of thing. I'm like, what the fuck is that? But this time it's nighttime and it's a blue circle. Same exact kind of thing, but it's like a blue neon circle. And it's just same exact thing. Just same speed, deliberately moving across the sky. Like same height, no noise, no other, just like a fucking screensaver thing going across. And I'm like, but like it takes enough time to where you're like, what the fuck is that? Fuck is that? The fuck is that? And by the time you're like, what the fuck is that? Like, you have enough time to register it. And but luckily, her aunt, who I never met and never seen since, I realized was doing the same thing. And it like disappears slowly. And I'm like, and they were talking and they didn't hear us. And I looked at her and I was like, do you fucking see that? Did you fucking see that? I'm like, what the fuck was that? And we're both like, what the fuck? And we're like trying to describe it to them, and they're like, what? But like, she confirmed the exact same thing that I did. We're like, what the fuck was that? And I didn't get a video of that, but it was fucking bizarre. So I don't know if there were, I mean, it could have been some kind of fucking weather balloon. It could have been some kind of like surveillance technology. No.
Good weed does not give that same effect. No. You're up there with it, man.
No. I don't smoke weed. So.
It's
so
interesting.
I promise it wasn't that.
It's interesting, though. One time.
Everybody thinks I do, but I swear to God, I don't. But yeah, we both were like, when I was like, you saw like the blue thing, like we saw the exact same thing. And so I saw it once during the day when it was like lit up, and once during the
right.
night, or well, once during the night was lit up, and once during the day when it was just a dark thing. So I seen that twice. And I don't, that could have been like a military thing. It could have been an experimental thing. It could have been some simple explanation, like that was a fucking weather balloon or something. I don't know, but it was definitely something. And I still have yet to get an answer of what the fuck it was.
Well, yeah, it sounds like the one time you saw it, it's backlit, so it's black. And the next time you see it, you're seeing the front view of it, and it's neon blue.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll show you. Yeah, so I mean, it's intriguing in that you saw it in shadow the first time, and then the next time you're seeing the actual front face of it. So.
UFOs, anybody here seen a UFO? Yeah. Ever seen a UFO not on weed?
Yeah. I got it right here. I already got it. Wait.
All right.
Hopefully it'll play because I got like no fucking.
This is going to be great for the listening audience and you down there.
Before I get everybody excited, let me make sure that it plays.
Okay, very cool.
Because I got like no signal on this fucking boat.
I'm curious, John, if they told us, if I said to you, listen, I've got a place where I can take you where they're telling me they're going to guarantee we're going to have a Bigfoot encounter or guarantee that you're going to have a UFO encounter, which place would you go to?
Oh, Bigfoot, 100%.
Bigfoot?
I'd be a little skeptical because I'd be like, well, if you're guaranteeing it, am I getting worked here? Like, is it...
Understandable, right?
Dr. Luther, who is now in AEW, he's right. Joined the Nightmare Collective, his former wrestler in Japan. Bald dude. He's going to be making waves. If you don't know his name, you'll know his name. Dr. Luther. He has been on Bigfoot expeditions, and he came up to me and was like, dude... He's been out in like Edmonton because he's from Calgary.
Sure.
Or not. And Cat's Calgary is Alberta. He's been like Alberta. Yeah, right. Yeah, like Alberta. And he showed me pictures of like trees pushed over in like X's where they're not cut, but they're just pushed over. Where it's like, that's weird. Like, how do you do that? How do you just push big ass trees? Like, how do you just push it over but not cut it? And like they say, that's like some kind of a territory marking thing for Sasquatches, you know? Like
it's like the Blood and the Crips are marking their territory.
He's been out on like official expeditions, you know. So I was like, dude, me and you and Jericho got to go on like an official Bigfoot expedition.
Are you going to base like, Jericho and leave him tied to the tree?
Now we can't because now we're not friends anymore. Yeah. Fuck that guy. We were going to do it. Who knows? We could have been the three that discovered Bigfoot, but it'll never happen now.
Right.
Nice going, Jericho.
Did Dr. Luther say anything about ever coming face-to-face with a Bigfoot?
No, they just saw like the signs.
Okay.
But he's really... But he saw some shit. He showed me the pictures of some shit. You know, so.
Interesting.
There's a place in Washington, Trout Lake, Washington, called the Eseti Ranch. Yeah, you guys familiar with that? Trout Lake, Washington? The Eseti Ranch, ECETI.org is a website, and they've got plenty of video footage. But that was one of those places that they said, you know, if you come out on a clear night, you have a 90 to 95% chance of seeing something in the skies. So I put them to the test. I've been there three times. I've never walked away without seeing unbelievable shit flowing around in the sky out there. Now, Dr. Melba Ketchum, who is into the Bigfoot Genome Program, has told me that she has a location that she would let me come out to. She guarantees that, well, can't give it a complete guarantee, but she has had extremely positive encounters every time they've gone there, or almost every time to have a Bigfoot encounter. I got to tell you, my fear, though, is because if it is more wild animal than intelligent bipedal creature, that's my one fear. I mean, how do you can't negotiate your way out of an ass beating from a Bigfoot.
Well, not many people have stories of getting like mauled by Bigfoots. If they were dangerous, so many more people you would think would have. If they were more aggressive, it would be more likely that we would have seen them.
Well, there's
you know what I mean?
There's been more and more stories about them attacking dogs or affronting humans. They said that they kind of do a bull charge and then will back off. But it's just enough that, again, I don't know. You know,
you think you would have more incidences of people coming back with, like, Bigfoot, like, claw marks that would have, like, DNA and hair and all that shit, or, like, teeth marks or however they would attack people. I don't know. Like, I mean, if they bash somebody in the head with their skull, it'd be like somebody would have, like, did you get hit with a sledgehammer in the woods? What the fuck happened? You know?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. That's my one fear is, you know, seeing things in the sky, I'm far enough away. Going into an area where I'm now impeding in its environment, that just seems a bit dire to me.
Yeah, I say, like, oh, I wouldn't be scared of Bigfoot, but if I saw a Bigfoot, I'd shit my pants in 12 different directions.
It's funny because
if I was just in the woods like that, I'd be scared of every fucking thing. I'd be scared of bears and coyotes and shit.
Well, that's why
I'm terrified of mountain lions.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, there's good reason.
Yeah, especially, like, in California. If you're, like, mountain biking in California, I've seen this show where this chick was mountain biking in, like, California, not even far from L.A., like a trail real close to where, like, I've ridden on, just, like, a regular biking trail people go on. And she's just biking along, like, da-da-da-da, and just gets, like, ambushed by this fucking mountain lion that just saw people going by and just went, like, oh, I'll just wait here and eat one of these fucking humans. So, like, that's not even, like, oh, you know, if you take the proper precautions, or it's probably unlikely, but, you know, and these are the things you can do to prevent it, or if it happens, this is what you do. There's no chance. You're on a fucking bike, and then it's, ha! Like, you're fucking done. It's over. Like, and if there's a 1% chance I'm going to get fucking ambushed by a mountain lion on a bike, I'm never riding that trail. Ever. Ever. Yeah, I've grown, I've become very fucking terrified of mountain lions, and we know they're real.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. You're listening to Beyond the Darkness.
It's that time of year again. Time to set new goals and resolutions. You know, they're pretty easy to make, but they're harder to stick to. And at Audible, we believe that listening can motivate, inspire, inform, and help you to be more successful in 2020 and beyond. No matter what your resolution or goal is this year, you're going to find the perfect audiobook at Audible to motivate and inspire you. Whether it's getting physically fit, financially fit, or even being a better parent, leader, or person, it's all on Audible. And to help motivate you, get this, Audible is issuing a challenge to current and new members. Finish 3 audiobooks by March 3rd and get a $20 Amazon credit. It's just that simple. Finish 3 by 3-3, get it? Finish 3 by March 3rd and you'll get $20. How easy is that? There's nothing to enter. Audible will keep track of your progress for you. Let me give you some examples of what I picked out, because these are the 3 that I'm going to work on for the new year and get myself motivated. Now, first of all, I want to start with a book called Comfort Zone, Stepping Beyond. Here's the deal with me. When I was younger, I had a real hard time getting out of my comfort zone, stepping beyond and asking for things. I was a real shy, sensitive kid. I couldn't say, can I have that? Should I have that? I even had a problem asking for dates and when it came to business, asking for a sale. I couldn't do anything, to be honest with you. I was pretty frozen. Sure, it was cute. Sure, it was adorable, and it didn't do anything for me for the ladies. It didn't do anything for me for sales. It didn't do anything for me to get ahead in life, because if you don't ask, you don't get, right? That's kind of getting out of our comfort zone. It's stepping beyond. There's an audiobook waiting for you right now on Audible, and it's called Comfort Zone, Stepping Beyond, 10 Real-Life Inspirational Short Stories for Fearless Living. Take action, inspire others, travel the world, find true love, Leave a Legacy by Russell C. James, and it's narrated by Ryan Sitzberger. It's only 3 hours and 2 minutes long, and it is absolutely going to change your life. And right now, it's free with a 30-day trial. Take a look at that. That's one of those 3 books that I'm going to look into. Second one I want to look into is going to be great for all your metaphysical needs and all you metaphysical people out there. It's called How to Kiss the Universe, an inspiration, spiritual, and metaphysical narrative about human origin, essence, and destiny. It's by Yosef Simakovich. It's absolutely perfect for all of our people who are into self-development and meditation. Inspirational, spiritual, metaphysical, enough to get you going in the new year. The third audiobook that's waiting for you at Audible that I'm recommending is from Trevor Noah from The Daily Show. I love The Daily Show. I love Trevor Noah. Saw him live. He's absolutely amazing. And he's got an audiobook out there called Born a Crime, Stories from a South African Childhood. That's actually his biography. It's stories from his childhood in South Africa. It's endearing. It's funny. It's engaging. And it's waiting for you right now at Audible. You absolutely want to get a hold of Trevor Noah's new audiobook, Born a Crime, Stories from a South African Childhood. Now, how easy is that? There's nothing to enter. Audible keeps track of all the progress for you. It's that simple. Audible members can choose 3 titles every month, 1 audiobook, and 2 exclusive Audible originals that you can't hear anywhere else. Audible members also get access to exclusive guided fitness programs to help start the new year off right. Listen on any device, anytime, anywhere, at home, at the gym, on your commute, or just on the go. You'll also enjoy easy exchanges for any audiobook you don't love and on an audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel. So how do you do it? How do you get a hold of this great deal? Well, it's real simple. You can start listening right now with a 30-day Audible trial. You can choose 1 audiobook and 2 Audible originals absolutely free. All you do is just visit audible.com/BTD, like Beyond the Darkness, or text BTD, like Beyond the Darkness, to 500-500. That's texting BTD to 500-500. We encourage you to go out there and get something that's going to change your life this beginning of 2020, something that's going to inspire you, that'll not only paranormally or metaphysically call to you, but something that'll also change this 2020 for you and start this new decade off on the right foot. You know, like I said, Comfort Zone, How to Kiss the Universe, and Trevor Noah's new audiobook for me is something that I'm going for. I want you to check out Audible today and take a look at what it is that's going to change your decade. How do you do it? One more time. You can get one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Again, visit audible.com/BTD or text BTD to 500-500 to get one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. We think you're going to be absolutely pleased with Audible and that you're going to change your life through the magic of audiobooks. Please give it a try. You'll be glad you did.
Beyond the Darkness.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Beyond the Darkness, live on the Jericho Cruise. Well, live on tape. I'm Dave Schrader. That's Tim Dennis. Joining us on stage, John Moxley. Yeah.
This video won't load on this fucking boat, but you can see it.
I can definitely see it won't load. No, I'll take it.
I'll give
it, word for it.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. And
all right.
I'll let you put it up on, like, Twitter or whatever.
We can
so, like,
it,
I swear right. to fucking God, I'm not making this video up. It exists. So I'll let everybody look at it.
Right, we'll get the footage. We'll put it up over at darknessradio.com.
And then everybody's going to be like, that's a weather balloon, dickhead. And I'll be like, either way, we're going to get to the bottom of it. Like,
you said you had one ghost encounter?
Oh, yeah. So... And I don't know how I feel about ghosts. Like, I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm not saying they do. If they do, like, let's say they do. Cool. I don't want to see one. Because, like, oh, man, no, I'll be all scared and shit all the time. I'll be in a, you know, like, I don't know. I'd rather be like, okay, cool, ghosts exist. Just don't show up, you know? Even though they never really seem to hurt anybody. But in any case, so I was on a Europe tour in WWE. This was like years back, like 4 or 5 years back. And we're in England. England's haunted as fuck. All the old castles, all the fucking people who died of fucking Black Plague and shit. Like, so you stay in a lot of these like old towns. We were in like, I can't remember the exact hotel or the exact even town. I believe it was Nottingham, England. Like Robin Hood, right? Like old school, like one of the oldest towns in civilization, right? Nottingham, England, let's say. It was like Nottingham or Sheffield or something like that. I want to say it was Nottingham though, right? And we're like this Marriott. It's like a Marriott, but it's a really old building. It's in like all the like streets are cobblestone. Like it's all done up and they put like fucking Starbucks and shit in there. But all like the base... of a
like
lot
really
of the,
old Starbucks.
Yeah, a lot of the base of the construction is like, you can tell it's
right.
old shit. So in this, and people had said something like, oh yeah, this is like one of those haunted hotels or something. So I had it kind of in my head like, oh, that's one of those haunted hotels. And it's kind of like old and creepy and kind of, it's fine, but it's, you know, I don't know, once you got it in your head that it's creepy, now it's creepy. So like, I didn't think about it or notice anything or anything. The next day, woke up in the afternoon. We're leaving. Bus is leaving at like 4 o'clock or something. I woke up in the afternoon like, oh, okay, I'm going to go get a little workout in before I got to go to the bus, right? So like, go down to the gym. It's like down in some like basement. So it's like this basement-y gym. And I'm like, oh, okay, get a little workout in. The last thing I do, I get on like... some kind of like elliptical Stairmastery type cardio machine. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do like 30 minutes of cardio here, just like a little sweat on, get fucking hyped up, and then get on the bus and go to the show. So I'm doing it. So hit fucking start and gone. And I'm like, the thing is like if this is the wall, I'm like, it's like right in front of the wall. And there's a clock on the wall. That's like a clock that would be like in a classroom. Just like a mounted wall clock. It's like, and it's right in front of the thing. So I'm like, I start fucking doing whatever, doing the exercise shit. 30 seconds in. And then the clock just starts doing this.
Just starts spinning around?
Yeah, yeah. Not like super fast. Just like the minute hand and the big hand and the little hand both just like hypnotically kind of like that. And I'm like, huh. I didn't like think anything of it. I'm like, oh, the clock's fucking shorting out or whatever. And then 30 seconds later, I'm like, oh, fuck, this is a haunted hotel. And I'm like, no. Nah. And that's... And then I feel, then I, now 90 seconds later, now I'm fucking creeped out. I'm like, stop. Stop fucking spinning. What the... This? But now I'm like, I'm mentally committed to doing 30 minutes on this fucking thing. And I'm like, I'm not fucking selling for this ghost. Fuck that. So I was like, because I'm like, I'm not giving the ghost power. I'm not going to be like, ah, because it could, for all I know, it could be, I don't know if it's battery operated, if it's plugged into the wall electrically. It could be shorted out. It could be a simple explanation. But it started doing it almost immediately when it got on the machine. And I'm like, now I have to finish this 30 minutes. I can't let the fucking ghost win. And I'm like, so this isn't happening. This not. So for 30 fucking minutes. And I'm just like, I'm listening to music. I'm like, no selling it. And just like. And every once in a while I look up and it's like, I'm like, fuck. Fucking. So I'm like, and it's like 28 minutes. Still, things still going. Then it hits like fucking 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, fine. Good. Good. Soon as, I swear to fucking God, as soon as I stop and I get off, I go, oh, I did my 30 minutes. The thing fucking, both hands, stop at 12. I swear to fucking God, like almost a second I got off, after they started spinning as soon as I got on, and they stopped almost immediately as I got off, and they just came to a stop perfectly both at 12. And I was like, okay, peace out, motherfucker. And I got on the bus and I was feeling dirty and shit. I was like, this is weird. And then there were a couple people on the bus who were like, did you hear like noises and shit last night? And they're like, yeah. And people were like, yeah, this is supposed to be haunted. And then like fucking Kane, WWE wrestler Kane, who's been on the road like forever, who's been here before, he's like, yeah, this is like one of the most like haunted hotels. Like he's like, yeah, I was hearing some weird shit like in the walls and in the vents and stuff. He's like, yeah, it's creepy, but whatever. And I'm like, and I remember I was freaked out enough by it to like I didn't even share the story with anybody immediately because I was like, I didn't want to admit that it happened. I was like, it didn't happen. Nothing happened to me. It's all good.
The Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee is insanely haunted, so bad that the Brewers put up their opposing teams at the Pfister. And they, seriously, there's all these articles about it. It's great. They know the worst ones, so they put the starting pitchers into those rooms. So the Milwaukee Brewers and the Pfister Hotel are in cahoots to screw every team that comes in.
Dude, there was a hotel we used to stay at in WWE that's in L.A. It was one of the old-ass hotels. Fuck, I can't remember what it's called.
Roosevelt?
Roosevelt, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Like downtown LA.
Yeah.
It's where they film parts of The Shining, I believe. Allegedly, they film parts of The Shining there.
Okay. You're bigger than me. I'll go with that.
Supposed to be like a haunted hotel.
Yeah.
I never had anything weird happen there. But a very like high profile WWE wrestler, I won't name him, but.
Go ahead. Nobody's listening.
No. I don't know. He might be freaking. He might be no selling the ghost too, so I don't.
Okay. All right.
But apparently he had his family there for like when we had SummerSlam there, and his kid was at the pool, and his kid told him that some other child came up to him and was like, oh, and the kid can't swim. And he was like, oh, you want to jump in the pool? Oh, it's all good. And he started like holding hands with this child and was like walking into the pool,
no.
trying to like push him in the pool. And he went over to him and was like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, oh, this kid told me to get in the pool, whatever. And he looked and no kid was there. And he went, oh, fuck this. And he immediately took his whole family and checked them out of the hotel, and they went to a different hotel. Because he was like, I ain't fucking with no ghost children. But
yeah, ghost children, those are the creepiest, right? We were talking about that at the beginning of the show. The strange encounters with paranormal children. That unnerves me, right? Because I grew up Christian. I'd like to think that if something happened to a child, God wouldn't leave the spirit behind. But yet there are all these locations where children's spirits are seen ducking around the corners, running around in the halls, giggling, playing games.
Like in a movie, a 7-year-old girl can become scary as fuck real quick. A little bit of blood comes out of her mouth. I start fucking going a little bit. Ah, you know what I mean?
I'd been watching a bunch of the paranormal shows, and they were coming up in the beginning of 2006, 2007. They kept coming up against these little Jawa-looking ghosts. You guys remember that on the show? There were these like little 3.5-foot, 4-foot, like they looked like Jawas. They had little cloaks on. And I woke up one night to the sound of something running in my room. And the doorway is over in front of me. My ex-wife was sleeping closer to the door because if somebody comes in, I want to get out the window. I'm not a hero, but I hear and I look, and there's this little thing booking around the bed heading towards my wife. So I jump over my wife, I reach down and I grab it by the throat, and I cock my fist back, and I hear, Daddy? Grab my 3-year-old daughter.
Oh, God.
She goes, what are you doing? I go, just hugging you.
I bet you were relieved, though. I'd have been
Thank
fucking God.
Yeah. I was relieved, except for this kid right in the front row, John. The little redhead down here, who's now not so little. Looked like Opie when he was a little guy, my son Linus.
Well, we all do.
His mom brings him downstairs one night. I'm sleeping on the couch. She goes, tell your dad what happened. And he goes, oh, Dad, I saw Pacey running around my room, my little sister. I go, honey, she's not old enough to run. She's in her crib. He goes, no, I saw her running around in my room. I'm like, buddy, everything's fine. She goes, no, tell him the other story. And I said, what other story? And he goes, well, there's that little boy on my top bunk, Dad. And I go, well, that's your brother Nathan. He goes, no, Dad, Nathan's sleeping. The little boy's sitting on the top stair. And my son, again, he's big freckles, elf ears sticking out, flaming red hair. And he goes, no, Dad, the boy on the top bunk is staring at me like this. He just tips the head, up go the eyebrows, and just this Joker sinister smile spreads across the face. So being the good father I am, I said, well, you just sleep down here with Dad tonight. And I laid there feeling guilty for about 10 minutes, realizing some kind of demonic force is up next to my son, sitting on the top bunk, right? So I'm like, oh, no. So I go stomping upstairs as loud as I could. I think you'd appreciate it, right? Flipping every light on, going, there better not be a fucking ghost in my son's room. If there is, I'm going to throw it out. The whole time I'm blathering, the whole time inside, I'm this close to pooping.
Yeah.
This close to pooping. Because if I throw open that door and this is sitting on the top bunk staring at me, there's just going to be another ghost in the house.
That's the weird thing about, I mean, nobody can really study ghosts because we don't actually have, like, an example, because we don't have one laid out on the fucking morgue table or anything to, like, know, but there's, like, theories and shit.
Right.
And it feels to me, like I said earlier, like, I'm like, I don't want to fucking sell this ghost because I feel like they'll smell fear.
Right.
And they'll start fucking with me worse. Like, they'll fuck with you a little bit, and then if you go, then they'll be like, ha, and they'll try to haunt you more. But if you're like...
Were you a little
like,
brother?
If somebody's picking on you and you're like, whatever, dude, they're like, well, you're no fun. But if you sell it, if you're like, then people pick on you more. I feel like ghosts must be like that. So it's like, do you want to walk it? It's like, you don't want to do nothing, but do you want to walk into the room and go, fuck you, ghosts! Any ghosts in here? Come on! Or do you want to be like... Or do you want to just pretend that the ghosts aren't there and be like, oh, whatever, fucking ghosts don't exist. And then they'll be like, oh, that's no fun. You don't believe in me. You know? I've thought about this a lot. When we first moved into our house, we looked at a couple houses that were, like, old. And I'm like, this shit was made in 1955.
Right.
Nah, too old. Could be too many ghosts. Our house was built in, like, 96. I'm like, 96 is a good year. That's only, like... Yeah, nobody's... probably nobody died here.
And if they are, they're yuppie ghosts if it's from 96, yeah. Right?
We still sage the fuck out of the house. Look into that sage stuff, bought all this sage, and then once I didn't even know what it was, but then we started looking at it, I'm like, you're supposed to sage the house? I was like, oh, we need to do that. A lot of it. Because I don't need no fucking ghosts in this fucking house. We don't even have a very big house, but I always lived in like little apartments or like lived on couches or in cars. So like even a moderately regular sized house to me is like a fucking, it's like too big. I'm like, you know, it's too much space. It freaks me out. I'm like looking around the corner, seem all dark and shit. So I was freaked out already by the space. So I was like, we're staging this bitch. So open the doors. We did it two or three times. I'm walking around fucking...
Holy sepulcher of the place, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we never had any problems, you know.
Right.
But, you know.
That's because the ghosts are looking at you going, what the fuck's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, but like, if we did, if I walked into my bedroom and like if I saw a ghost, whether it was a little girl or a fucking dude in chains or a fucking werewolf, if I walked in my house and opened the door and I saw a ghost, I'd be like, I'm moving. Like, immediately, I'm done. Like, I'm in a Motel 6, and I'm at the Fairfield Inn, whatever, and the house is on the market. I'm leaving. I'm just not even gonna fuck with it. I've seen fucking Paranormal Activity. I ain't fucking with that shit. They kept sleeping in the same room every single night.
Yeah, at some point, they're just asking.
And it kept getting worse.
Yeah.
Their fucking feet in the talcum powder. And they went back and slept in the same bed.
John, you know this wasn't a fucking documentary, right?
Yeah, but still, you know what I mean? Like, what would you do?
No, it's creepy, right? And when you do have a place that's that active, it's unnerving as hell because you what do you do? Again, it's something you can't grab onto, right? An enemy you can grab a hold of, hit him, scream at him, something. But when you can't see what's around you and what's taunting you or your children, that's been my biggest problem is dealing with the kids. In the house we just moved out of, we had a room for our two youngest boys who were, I think, 8 and 6. And they refused to sleep in there because they kept hearing the man under their bed laughing. And then I'm like, they're probably hearing their brother downstairs or something. And then they go, no, Dad, we saw him lean out of the closet. Right? Yeah, so that was...
Fuck right off.
Yeah, fuck right off. So then we ended up... That became my home studio for doing the radio show. And they moved into a different room with their bigger brothers.
That's turning a negative into a positive.
Well, you got to, right? Doing a paranormal radio show, nothing better than having a haunted studio to work it out of. Do you... if you could sit down, if you could see a ghost of anybody once, who would you like to see? If you could see a ghost, truthfully...
Do you get to talk to him?
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
Who said Elvis?
I'm happy.
Hey, man, leave me alone. I'm busy.
Pre or post toilet? That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Damn, that's too good of a question.
Would you go with a family member or would you go with a celebrity or somebody you admire?
I already met the family members. I already know their shit. Maybe like,
Tupac.
Not fucking Tupac.
He ain't dead. How can you see his ghost?
Yeah,
there you go.
23 albums since his death. He's not dead, folks.
Tell you what, when we pull up in the Bahamas, you can say hey to him.
Maybe one of the dudes who went... Are the dudes who went to the moon, one of them's dead?
Oh, you'd want to speak to, who was it that just died? Buzz Aldrin, right?
Yeah, maybe like, what's up, did you go to the moon or not?
What would you ask Buzz Aldrin if you had him, that he had to be completely honest with you, what would be the question?
You go to the moon or what, brother?
Do you think they did?
Well, I was going to say, I don't know, maybe, but apparently this room seems to think no. So
no.
I don't want to get...
Don't you think China or Russia would have called us out on that shit already?
If we didn't, they sure as fuck couldn't.
Right.
So how would they know? But
stop dropping knowledge on me, John. I don't have time for that logical shit.
So if they didn't, is the international spaceship?
Well, no, for sure. If nothing ever got leaked or whatever, we know for sure when somebody finally does. like if fucking Elon Musk or fucking China or something decides to go to the moon and then it looks totally different, I'll be like, oh fuck. We never really went.
So is the ISS fake then too, and all that other stuff that we've done with space?
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to assume that it was, cause I'm assuming it was real because somebody would have had to talk.
Right.
There's just no way. How did it? But then again, I don't know. It was such a different world back then. Like, you could never do that today. With, like, the internet and leaks and Russian leaks and all this shit. I mean, the Hillary Clinton.
Oh, and you got to like that Buzz Aldrin got asked about it.
Back then, they were doing that shit on, like, 9mm film or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it was a different world. So, like, maybe.
Do you guys believe we made it to the moon?
Okay, well, we're the...
Who doesn't believe we made it to the moon? Woo! Just two of you? I love how they're real quiet, though. Just a couple of you? Okay.
I listen to this motherfucking, sorry.
That's all right.
This flat earther dude.
Yeah.
On Jericho's podcast.
Yeah.
I don't fucking support that podcast at all anymore. But back when I used to listen to flat earther guy, now it's interesting because I'd never really actually listened to any of those dudes talk about anything. And like he had all this mathematical, and like math is not my strong suit, if you can't tell. But he had all these mathematical equations and shit that kind of made sense about like how could the earth be round if this or that, or I can't remember what they were right now. But he had like some good points. So I'm like, oh, I guess that kind of makes sense. But then he went too far and was like, yeah, and like Disney and NASA are in bed together, the same thing. And like,
Come on, we're gonna fuck with the American public.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. That's like what I said. I was like, all right, dude, now you've lost me. Because I'm like, this motherfucker who draws a cartoon mouse and a dude who fakes the moon landing or goes to the moon are the same people. That's not, I said, dude, now you've lost me. And he's like, nuclear bombs don't exist, that's all a hoax. I'm like, that's bullshit. I've been to, like, the Atomic Testing Museum. I've been on a nuclear sub. I've been to the museum here, Hiroshima. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know for sure fucking nuclear bombs exist. I've, like, seen all the history of that shit. I mean, I guess I don't know for sure what the fuck. We could be in a fucking simulation. I don't fucking know. But, so he started to lose me. But then he's like, yeah, as soon as you become a flat earther, then every all of a sudden everything makes sense. And then you discover all these other flat earthers. And then all of a sudden your life has changed. And now we have this community and it's great. And now we're enlightened and it's the truth. And I was like, oh, it's just like fucking CrossFit. Or fucking Scientology, or being a fucking this or that. No offense to do whatever you want, be whatever you want, like believe whatever you want. All cool, you know. But I'm like, the flat earthers are like, it's just a thing to belong to, because a lot of his thing was like, yeah, like they want you to believe that you're just this tiny little thing in this universe that's just a little inconsequential speck that could get wiped out by a comet at any point, and you don't really exist, and dinosaurs got wiped out and you'll get wiped out too, and the earth is so much bigger than you and you're nothing. But once you realize that the earth is flat and all this other shit's going on and you're important, and I'm like, oh, it's just like some weird, like, you've fucking have self-confidence issues, so you believe the earth is flat and you look like a fucking jackass, and now everybody thinks you're a dumbass, and now that's defeating the whole purpose.
John, I wish you wouldn't hold back. Yeah. Let me know what you really feel, man.
Also, I don't, what the fuck do I know? The earth could be flat, you know? Shit.
My entire weekend's been made. Flat earth theory is like CrossFit.
Yes.
That's perfect. You just put it perfectly, John. Perfectly.
It is kooky, though, right? We did a couple of shows on Flat Earth.
Yeah.
And you go into it with the assumption this is too stupid. And they start talking and they start throwing some numbers and ideas around. And you do start going, huh, that is weird.
Yeah, right.
Like you said, then they jump the shark at some point. And, you know... Mickey Mouse was in the grassy knoll, and then it's all over.
Fuck you, JFK. Here it comes.
A lot of people are like, think dinosaurs never really existed, and they're like this big hoax. And they have this whole like scientific theory about an animal can never be that big. It doesn't make any sense. And you're kind of like, huh? Like, I'm not smart enough about math or shit to understand like if that's true or not. But I'm like, huh? That sounds like it could be true. Like, animal could be never be that big because it wouldn't be supported by the thing. But then I just go like, fuck you, Jurassic Park rules. I'm the complete opposite direction of those motherfuckers. Not only do I want dinosaurs to exist, I want to believe that we can bring them back.
We can. But what's harder, and I'll bring that up in a second, what's harder to believe, that dinosaurs are too big to have ever existed, or that chickens are the direct relations to T-Rexes?
You can see it, man.
It's true. Yeah, did you know that?
The fucking feet.
They started tripping the triggers inside eggs. They were going in with the DNA deal, and they were tripping the triggers, and then they would stop the progression, but they would show teeth.
Yeah.
They would show scales. And now they've talked about the fact that most dinosaurs were probably feathered creatures. So it's hard. See, what I don't understand is, how does it go from being that to a chicken?
Chicken. Yeah.
From creepy giants stomping on Japanese tourists to on my plate dipped in barbecue sauce.
But they're delicious.
Evolution is crazy, man. Yeah. Like dogs are all from, not even getting into evolution humans, because that's a whole nother can of worms. But like, dogs all come from the same original canine species. Like the original prehistoric canine. So like wolves, bulldogs, German shepherds, chihuahuas.
Not chihuahuas, fucking, John.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. I got a fucking bulldog and a chihuahua, right?
Right.
One of them's like this fucking weird like piglet creature that's a, and the other one's like this tiny, but he's like a fat 80-pound. He's basically a pig. And the other one is like this tiny little like squirrel rodent thing. They're like two totally different species. But their instincts like behave the same way, as far as like, you know, they want to throw the ball and they want to do this and that. And it's like they're the same species. They come from the original same mother and father millions of years ago. Somewhere along the line, they just vastly diverged, which is, it's wild that like they're related because they're totally different, you know.
John, even poodles are even from that.
Right.
As well? Because Dave doesn't believe that.
Yeah.
I don't think poodles are real creatures.
Like a poodle, like a tiny little poodle, all cut up and shit with the fluffy tail.
Yeah.
Is the same species from the same original genome or whatever as like a 200-pound wolf that's like mauling a...
See, Dave?
Like an antelope.
It's not true.
Poodles are just as vicious as wolves.
It. Poodles are bullshit. They don't really exist. They're crazy. All right, well, that's it, folks. Big round of applause and thanks to our guest, John Moxley.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you all for being a part of the program. We'll be back tomorrow recording our second edition of Beyond the Darkness. I'm Dave Schrader. That's Tim Dennis. You've been listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. We are Beyond the Darkness.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Terms and conditions apply. At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.